Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And here he is, having the time of his life, J. Joseph Harrington.
I'm not having the time of my life, actually. I'm trying to sing that, but I'm not. I would hope not. If this is the time of your life, you ever had that when someone's like, oh man, this is the best time ever, and you're like, you need to have better times.
Like, no, I think this is, in general, like, I love this time of life, you know. Kids are in the sweet spot, having fun. You know, I'm old, so I'm wise, but I'm not so old that I'm like decrepit. And, you know, all that stuff is great. But I'm sitting here thinking I had to cancel all of the reservations that I had in Atlanta for this weekend.
Yeah, that's a little reminder.
Why did you wait till this weekend?
Oh, no, I canceled. I sat in the chair watching the Rose Bowl and cried and canceled them all at that time.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the tough part about the new playoff model is, what do you do? Like, some of those early games didn't sell that great because fans wanted to wait. But if you wait and you don't make it, it's asking a lot of fan bases, you know, to basically pack up and go three separate times to neutral site cities.
No, it's completely financially unsustainable for 99% of fans out there. There was not a family of two, but for two people to go to all of the away games, right? The bowl games that it would have required. The Big Ten, I was talking to the Big Ten guys, and they said it was something around $32,000 to $35,000.
Gosh, and that doesn't include the Big Ten championship. If you want to go, like, you know, you throw that in.
Yes. No, that's what it was. It was all, if you want, you know, tickets and flights and hotels and food and, like, you know, it's unreasonable. Like, how are you going to expect someone not only to take the time off of work? Like, we're talking, that's so stupid. This is dumb. Dumb. And it's only dumb because we're not in it. And I had to cancel all of my reservations.
Well, if they were smart, when they redo this in a couple years, the first couple rounds should be at home stadiums. Because that's, regardless if they were blowouts or not, like Notre Dame home game, stuff like that, like that works. You know, Ohio
For
State
sure,
at the shoe.
But then the Peach Bowl doesn't get a host, and then the Rose Bowl doesn't get a host, and the Orange Bowl doesn't. Like, this is the thing. We're stuck in this in-between land of still trying to hang on to what used to exist, and at the same time trying to morph into something that everybody wants it to be. But we have six bowl games that are grandfathered in: the Orange, the Rose, the Cotton, the Sugar, the Peach, and the Fiesta, that all claim that they need to have a part of this puzzle. So if you've got six games plus a national championship game, there's seven games. That's exactly what it is: the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and the championship game. So unless the majority of those bowl games say, you know what, we're gonna let loose of our piece of the pie, it ain't gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, maybe when, because next year they have to keep it, but then after that, I think everything's kind of up in the air and you might be able to start from scratch. But again, it's a good old boys network, and the chances of someone cutting off the Peach Bowl people, it's all intermingled. You're right. It's going to be hard to break away. But, you know, sometimes when you're making an omelet, you got to break some eggs. And I would hope that college football, sooner than later, there's a way you can rebuild this without burning everything down, but you're going to have to knock some things down. Like, you give nods to the old way to do it, but we've got to move on and progress.
Yeah, and I think that college football has actually shown that they can do that in the way they've rolled out the NIL and the, oh, wait, no, they haven't.
You know what I have?
They just blow it up. They don't know how to knock it down.
No, they're very clunky.
They just implode the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like I was sitting there yesterday thinking about like who Carson Beck is getting how much at Miami now?
$8 million.
$8 million?
Was that what it was? $4 million?
$8 million?
No, Quinn Ewers was $8 million.
Whatever the number is. Oh, Quinn Ewers is getting $8 million, and Carson Beck's getting $4 million. And, oh, by the way, SMU was given the death penalty, and Reggie Bush lost his Heisman. Like, this is so stupid. And it's stupid that I'm not going to Atlanta this weekend. And
so
no,
wait.
This is not the best time of my life.
Okay, so to bring it back to that, how far into the game did you get before you canceled?
All the way.
So you made it to the – so you held out hope all the way to the end?
Very – come on now.
Yeah.
Like of all the people
well, I mean,
to – like you're literally – my career is based on unusual stuff happening at the end of games and then, you know, oops, we won, right? You know, that's
okay.
That's how I'm sitting here talking to you on a Friday – on a Friday evening. Like, so of course I waited all the way till the very end. And then I actually waited until after the post game show, just in the event, like there was some sort of like catastrophic disaster. Oh no. You know, Ohio State's bus drove into a ravine and all the players are alive, but they can't make it to the next round. Like I waited.
That's the Miss America thing. If the winner cannot fulfill their duties, then it goes to the first runner up. One of those sorts of things.
Oh, exactly. That's I was waiting to be the first runner up, and you know what? I wouldn't have minded.
Do you have a rooting interest on Monday, or is Notre Dame America's team now?
I don't think Notre Dame will ever be America's team again. I think they were in like the '60s and the '70s, and I think that illusion has blown over. Do I have a rooting interest? I mean, only because. I mean, I guess Ohio State beat us, and so I want to somehow justify the fact that we lost, you know, that quarterfinal game in the Rose Bowl was actually the national championship, but in the end, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It, you know, everybody who loses gets forgotten. So I don't care, and I hate both those teams.
Well, I guess I was wondering if, because like in the college basketball world and under the old bowl system that we had, you had multiple people that felt great about their season, right? If you make a run to the Sweet 16 for a lot of teams, like a BYU ever makes a run to the Sweet 16, oh my God, it's best thing ever. Make Final Four, unbelievable. You don't necessarily have to cut down the nets. And I think the old bowl games were that way too. Like if you made a Fiesta Bowl, you know, it was still, you could end on a high note. And I wondered if with the new playoff format, if you would have any of that. But like Penn State, who hasn't won a big game in years, I don't think Penn State feels good about their season, even though they won multiple playoff games.
No, I think you can have that format, or you can still have that feeling in this format. You just have to have different teams win, right?
Yeah.
If Boise State and Arizona State had advanced to the next round and then lost, they would have felt good about their season.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? But it's you know, if BYU makes it to the Sweet 16, if Gonzaga makes it to the, you know, the old Gonzaga, right, with, you know, Richie Fromm and Matt Santangelo and Casey Calvary, if they make it to the Sweet 16, that feels awesome. But when the number one seed, Virginia, loses in the first round, right, then you still feel like you get kicked in the crotch. So, and that's where Oregon is right now. And
yeah,
thank you for bringing that up and reminding me that this is not the best time of my life.
Hey, what was the best time of your life? What's the most fun you've ever had?
About 15 minutes before you guys called me and started reminding me that I'm not in Atlanta this weekend.
You had the whole severance thing, right? You just had blocked it out. That part of Joey's mind was done.
Yeah, that didn't exist. What was the best time of my life? That's such a loaded question.
Well, you take the kids out of it because the kids and wife are, that's the default answer, and we don't want default answers. So take out getting married, take out, you know, seeing your kids born or something like that.
Something stupid like that.
Well, I mean, that's just the go-to. It could be something you did with your kids, like a trip or whatever, but you can't do kids born and you can't do when you're married. It's way too, that's way too generic.
Okay. So those are one and two, but even still, then you have to quantify it into two silos, pre-marriage and kids and post-marriage.
Okay.
Kids,
well, give us one, 1A. Let's bifurcate.
Okay. Well, okay.
I think I know.
What is it?
Well, it's got to be something, from what I know of story time, it's probably something in between the time you were done at Oregon and you got drafted. You seem to tell some good stories about...
The lead up to that.
Yeah, that was a fun, whether, I don't know, summer or several months. Yeah. The Playboy party and all that.
That was some crazy stuff. Yeah. There's something. Let's just because I can nitpick around this. Let's just call it 19 or call it 2000 to 2002.
Yeah.
Right. We'll just call it those years, which includes, you know, kind of that first bit in Detroit before. You know, before everything fell off the wagon. And then honestly, like in the other silo, I mean, to be able to share some of these incredible, like, sports we've talked about, we took the boys to Man City, Liverpool, we went to Juventus, Lazio last year. We're going to our first Wrexham match this year. And then we're going to see PSV Ajax, like being able to share that with, my boys and Emily, like that's really, really cool.
Yeah. I've always been a big fan. If there's something that you're really into, or vice versa, something that your kids are really into, and they either share it with you or you get to share it with them, and you can see the fire get lit one way or the other, right? Mm-hmm. Either they light it in you, you light it in them. That's a really unique thing that as a parent that I will never take for granted. The first time you take your kids to a concert and it's a band that you loved and you're not certain if they like it, because it's a bummer when you're like, oh man, you're gonna love this, this is one of my favorite things, and then they're like, oh, whatever, old man. But when you see when you see that fire lit, that's a pretty good feeling. That's there's not many better. I concur with that.
It's a thing.
Yeah,
it's interesting. You said your first season in Detroit, that was 2002, right? Like, because that wasn't the best of time for you overall.
I knew I was getting my teeth kicked in that year. Like, you know.
Yeah, okay. But what was fun about it?
I don't know. New challenge, you know, exploring a new city. My first year, I was in the NFL. I mean, let's be honest. Like, that was the first, like, rose-colored glasses experience in the NFL. And
by the last one, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's as long as it lasted.
Yeah.
So, just because I got chased out of town with burning pitchforks doesn't mean that that the beginning of it wasn't new and fun and incredible and, you know, still an experience that, you know, 1% of 1% people get to live.
Yeah, because when you get handed the keys to the city, I mean, you're the guy. And you're right. I don't know how many people, whether it ends good or not. I mean, that, like you said, that is a really, really rare thing, because it really only happens to the quarterback. I mean, you know, you can be the number 4 overall pick and be a receiver, and that's not the same thing. But when you're Caleb Williams or you're Andrew Luck or you're Joey Harrington or, you know, whenever you're drafted like that, yeah, it is kind of the franchise in the city kind of gets handed over to you. And I can't even fathom what that feels like.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I bet. And then comes with a S ton of pressure right behind it.
So you, here comes the pressure train.
Yeah. Well, you probably have a unique perspective. Like, you know, for every Jaden Daniels, or Bo Nix, there's 100 others that it doesn't go that way for the most part.
You know, hold on. Yeah. You just tried to think of a rookie quarterback who struggled this year, and there weren't any.
Caleb didn't have a great year.
Look at Caleb's stats.
They're not bad.
Every other one.
Yeah.
And Caleb's,
they're not bad.
Caleb's, oh yeah, he played very well in a lot of games, and his team just stunk.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't do him any favors. It was a good group of quarterbacks. It's just weird that he kind of gets labeled as the one that had a wonky year, and he was kind of the can't miss guy. And you know, a lot of it is the team success. And you look at, but even Drake May, who didn't have anything around him, I just think more people are going to view that season as a positive over Caleb Williams. But you're right. When you look at his numbers, they're actually not much different than Jaden Daniels, other than the wins and losses.
I'd love to have his numbers as a rookie.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
You probably would love to have Dan Campbell, too.
Ooh, yeah, that'd have been fun.
Yeah.
That'd have been fun. Again, remind me about something else that sucks about this weekend. I didn't get Dan Campbell. I'm not in Atlanta. Do we have to go to commercial now?
We do.
Maybe we can reset.
Good call. Yeah, let's talk about the playoff. Playoffs? We've got big playoff games this weekend. And we'll get to that next with our friend Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX on The Fan. All right, we're back with Joey Harrington, Jay Joseph, former NFL quarterback. Knows a thing or two about, quarterbacking. You know what I think is interesting, Jay Joseph, is the playoffs. Everybody talks about quarterbacks. You know, you guys get all the talk, good or bad. But it's a lot of the good teams, especially, are going back to just pounding the rock. The run game, right? The Derrick Henrys, the Saquon Barkleys. Who else? The David Montgomerys and Gibbs and all these teams, all these good teams. Suddenly, in the playoffs, the weather gets cold, and they start running the ball. Isn't that interesting?
Well, we're talking about NFL. I was like, wait a minute. No, I was thinking about Ohio. I was like, Ohio State playoffs. I was like, no, they got a couple wide receivers that are going to – oh, but the NFL – no, that's why I think Baltimore is going to beat Buffalo is for that very reason, is it's going to be a Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson's legs. I mean, that's going to be – it's – yeah, but that happens every year to a certain extent.
It kind of does, doesn't it? Like, we always talk about, you know, how the offenses are opening up and the pass games and the quarterbacks, but it always comes back to this. Yeah. Running
run
the ball.
And stopping the run.
What is the best, here's a question for a quarterback. What is the best complementary piece for you as an NFL quarterback? Do you want, and I can only give you one of these, do you want a great run game? Do you want excellent pass protection? Do you want the Sean McVay coaching scheme, the Kyle Shanahan, or do you want an elite defense? Like, what is the best thing for you as the quarterback?
Ooh, that's actually a good question.
I was just thinking that same thing. I gave him the thumbs up. I was like, ooh, I like that.
First time for everything, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You want to get back to it?
It's kind of a chicken or egg thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So can you not run, you know, if you're a quarterback and you know, you're struggling, can you not run the ball because you can't threaten them down the field, right? Because they're not afraid of you throwing it. Therefore, they're stacking the box there. Or are you not able to throw the ball because you don't run it? You know, I think in today's NFL, right now, I would want a star wide receiver.
Okay. One who reads books on the sideline?
One that reads books on the sideline. Because I think that there are too many examples of, because if you're going to have a star wide receiver, right, you, with the exception of Saquon Barkley, name and Derrick Henry has kind of, you know, reemerged after leaving Tennessee. We went through a spell, and maybe I'm have selective memory, without a true, like, superstar or star-studded running backs through the NFL, right? We had teams winning games with guys that I think would be considered above average.
Sure.
Yeah,
there's maybe one or two guys, like you'll have like a Christian McCaffrey that a team runs through, but, you know, a lot of times it was either by committee or, you know, a guy that you know, Austin Eckler and when he was with the Chargers, you know, you find these guys in the fifth or sixth round and you run them to death for 2 or 3 years and then you move on from them.
And then you move on.
A couple years ago, remember, the top three leading rushers in the NFL, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, and who was the – I'm trying to forget who the other ones. Oh, Derrick Henry. None of them got contracts. They all let him go. And those are the three leading NFL, and everyone went, eh, and they moved on from him.
So I think that the league has changed to a pass first, soften things up, and then we'll be able to run. If you go back to when I was playing, I mean, and I played against, I mean, he was the first name to come to mind, but at the end of his career, it was Emmett Smith. He was with the Cardinals. But, like, it's Eddie George.
LT.
Right? It's Adrian Peterson. It's LaDainian Tomlinson. It's Ricky Williams. Start going down the list. Edgerrin James.
Falk was probably in there.
Marshall Falk. Absolutely. The Rams won the Super Bowl my first year. Of these absolute superstar running backs that allowed everything, that opened things up for everybody else. But I think that's the evolution of football, right? It's been slow. A lot of it has to do with rule changes, with penalties, what they're enforcing, the taking away the defender's ability to put hands on the wide receiver. Like, there are a lot of things that have created that. But I think right now, I mean, you saw it at the collegiate level, right? You saw it, with Ohio State. But if you can get a guy that can go out and dominate at the wide receiver position, it just opens things up for everybody else.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Call them gravitational players because they pull schemes and defenses towards them. Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State. In the last two games, they've been running a man on him and then bracket coverage and sometimes rolling a third one over. And you have to play him that way. There's just not many people that can guard him. And, like Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson, these guys do require you to change the sort of defensive schemes that you run while on the field. Because as good as some of the DBs are, you just can't. Say, all right, you
the rules,
go.
The rules don't allow him.
No, you can't say you go guard him. Because when you do, the guy ends up with 180 yards and two touchdowns in the first half, and thanks for coming.
So the Eagles, for example, like I think your point is A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith last week, 5 catches, 65 yards. Yeah. But that is what allowed Saquon Barkley to rush for 119, what you're saying. Yeah.
I would say not necessarily right, like in that game specific, right? I would say that's more of a general, they were forced to pay attention to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Not necessarily that they had 100 yards apiece, but the fact that they are productive. I mean, it's
Well, what I say, it was like you look over the last handful of years, and by handful, I mean, let's go 10 years. As in the NFL works in, 10-year cycles, right? So right now, all the rage was smaller linebackers because everyone was going 4 wide, empty, slinging the ball over the field. And most teams now run some form of nickel. I mean, the Bills and the Ravens both play 75% in nickel. And that's just and years ago, it was, more teams were doing that. So what happened to an adjustment to that was, great, if you want to run nickel, we're going to get physical and we're going to run the ball at you. And because you now have smaller linebackers and you're running two high safeties and you're trying to keep everything in front, cool, we're going to try to run you out of that look. And so to me, it's always a push-pull and stuff comes back around. And if teams want to play soft shell, two high safety, you have to be able to run the ball in order to get people out of that. And there'll be a shift where eventually we get back to the other way around and, more people will start throwing the ball downfield. But, I mean, that's how you dealt with, like, the Kansas City Chiefs is they just said, all right, we're just going to put a top on this and make you play underneath. There's always an adjustment to be made by the NFL, and it's a copycat league.
There you go. Nail, head, hit it.
Yep.
I'll give you Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. Who do you want?
One game?
Mm-hmm.
This game?
No.
One game, anytime, any location.
In a dome for the Super Bowl, since neither have been there, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen?
Lamar Jackson.
Okay. Why?
I've seen the incredible Josh Allen, and I've seen the implosion Josh Allen. I've seen the incredible Lamar Jackson, and I've seen the implosion Lamar Jackson. I think in those situations, Lamar Jackson as a runner gives you the best outlet between the two.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Do both of them have the ability to be transcendent Hall of Fame quarterbacks? Yes. Do both of them have the ability to trip over their own? You know, we'll leave it like that. Yes. Yes, they do. But in those situations where all hell breaks loose and you tell me one of those guys has to make a play, there's only one person that I've seen in the NFL at the quarterback position who is more athletic than Michael Vick, and he's wearing the purple and black right now. Yeah. Like he's just special. And then right now you put Derrick Henry with a good God.
Yeah, it's a pretty nasty combo. I think a lot of people are secretly, you hear it out there, but I think a lot of people are sitting here going, I think Baltimore's going to the Super Bowl. I mean, even though they had to win in Buffalo and Kansas City to do it, I feel like a lot of people are just looking at that combo right there going, well, that's going to be tough to beat.
That's where my money is.
Well, he had the one. I'm trying to remember who was it against. It was this year, and they were on about the 15 or 20. And I remember the play, and I just don't remember who was against. But he backpedals. He ends up spinning out of like two different tackles. He ends up at the sideline somehow. He beats the edge contain, walks the sidelines, dodges one guy, goes back to the sideline, and ends up scooting in for the touch. It's the best touchdown run you'll ever see. And you just kind of sit there. And I love Josh Allen, too, because he can run people over. And don't get me wrong, I'm a big Josh Allen guy. But when some of the stuff that Lamar does, he's one of one. He's going to win his third MVP this year. And I kind of hope that if it's not Detroit, which I'm pulling for, I would kind of like to see Lamar have one of those seasons where he goes third MVP, wins the Super Bowl, and finally gets the criticism crap off his back where people say that he can't win because he's pretty special. And
So you're saying that you want to heap the criticism crap on Josh Allen's back? All right,
well, I know that's I just don't know if Allen gets it the same way that Lamar does. And it's funny because one has three MVPs and the other doesn't. And yet I think we're more critical of Lamar than we are of Josh Allen.
I thought of another one. I have another one. We're supposed to go, but I'm going to give you another one. Justin Herbert or any of the rookies this year?
Justin Herbert.
Building a team.
Or any of the rookies.
You get Caleb Williams. You get Penix. You get Bo Nix.
Ooh, I forgot about Penix. Yep. You get Daniels, if you'd like.
Yeah.
Or I'll give you Justin Herbert. I'm testing your duck faith right here.
Okay. I'm having a hard time because we don't have a big enough body of work for any of the rookies.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm not going to take May. I'm not going to take Williams. I'm not going to take, so which leaves us with Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix. I would go with Herbert.
Mike?
Only because, and I think Herbert and Nix and Jaden Daniels are all going to be, I mean, Justin already is, but I think those other two are going to be long-time NFL quarterbacks. The season, I'm not gonna make a judgment based on one game, right? I'm not going to bait because last year in the playoffs, didn't they lose like a 38-39 kind of thing against? Yeah,
they were up 27-0 at half and lost.
Exactly. I'm not putting that. That's Ben Gustin, right? So you, if you're going to make the comment that he can't play in big games, well, okay, let's go back to last year and watch what happened. Then you go through the entire season with like, you know, granted he didn't throw 100 touchdowns, but he, you know, he threw what, 30 and only three picks the entire year. Yeah. I'm going to go win a hell of a lot of football games with that. And so the only reason you're even considering this is because he had a bad game in the playoffs. Yeah. I'm taking the sure thing and going.
Nice. That was a test. You passed. Yeah.
Well,
you're right.
In his arm talent alone, I don't think he's a top four quarterback. I think he's a top four arm talent. And by the way, I looked it up. Go watch. If you're listening to this and when you get home, or if you're sitting on your couch right now listening, go YouTube. Just look up the Lamar Jackson TD scramble against the Cincinnati Bengals this year. If you want to know why Lamar Jackson is one of one, he takes the snap at the 10, backpedals to the 30, jukes three free rushers, gets to the sideline, jukes two guys on the sideline, goes back to the middle and then back to the sideline and then makes three more guys miss and scores a touchdown. And
it's like Joey.
He is.
I did that once.
Yeah. It's just, you're not supposed to be able to do that. That is not, that shouldn't be humanly possible. And yet it is with him.
Who's your longest run?
In a football game?
Yeah.
No, the jog.
Yeah. No, in a football.
I, like, that bad I ran a half marathon once.
Did you ever rumble down like Daniel Jones?
No.
And then trip?
So I remember we were playing Washington at home, and we ran speed option. We were coming out of the east end zone. I ran speed option to the left, end went wide, and I tucked it up inside, and I started running. And I was like, oh, my God, there's nobody around. And so I started this feels really, really weird, like completely foreign and uncomfortable. And so I started looking around, and there was a defensive lineman. Remember Larry Triplett?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Larry Triplett was catching me from behind. And I was like looking over my shoulder like, oh, okay, here he comes. And then once he got to me, I just kind of slid and fell down because I was like, he's probably going to punch the ball out and it's just going to be awful. So I'm going to guess that one, and maybe it was like 23 yards.
Oh, that's good.
Maybe,
okay.
Maybe 19 yards.
You know what the best part is? I just Googled Joey Harrington run. And I kid you not, it's like a 9-yard scramble against Utah State. That was the first result that came up. YouTube did you no favors. Although you got a first down off of it. Big first down run against Utah State.
Suk, I did not. I went through 8 years in the NFL and did not have a touchdown run.
Yeah,
really? Zero. Not even a sneak?
None. None.
Oh, man. That's rough.
Zero.
You should have Heisman'd Larry Triplett. That was your chance.
Man,
dropped his ass and then run into the end zone.
Well, I'm determined to find a good Harrington
run.
Run
like 50, 55 yards. I wouldn't have made it.
No. All right. We got to run. Everybody have a great weekend, including you, Jay Joseph. Thank you.
I'll try.
Don't be so sad. Come on. Things will be better next year. Thank you. Joseph Harrington, each week brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. The club next on The Fan.